Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 51 and 56 through 56. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. As they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to consume them, just as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you for the marvelous love and grace that you give to us. And Lord, we just ask tonight that if there be one here that's lost, Lord, they may come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, that we that are saved might get our lives right before you. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to bless, and we give you all glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, all of us have probably had some opportunities we let pass by. And when we let them pass by, we were sad that we did. We missed a good opportunity. In our text, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is going towards Jerusalem, and as he is passing through a Samaritan village, it says they did not receive him. They did not receive him. In other words, they rejected the Lord there, and the Lord went somewhere else. Now, can you imagine how these people will feel when they stand before God one day and give an account for our life, and the Lord reveals to them what he wanted to do in that little town of Samaria, and yet they wouldn't receive him. They wouldn't let him do it. Well, I believe it's the same way today. Some of us come to church. We want the Lord to come by. He visits us, but yet we will not allow his word to take root in our heart. We will not allow his word to come home or enter our lives, and therefore he cannot do the marvelous work that he wants to do in our life. And because we close out God in our life, then we miss his best for our life. You see, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came for a definite purpose, and his own kindred refused him and prevented him from doing what he wanted to do, accomplishing the great things that he wanted to do. The Bible says, "But God, the Father, sent his so loved Son into the world, and the world received him not," his own received him not, would not allow him. Can you imagine? Would not allow him to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish in their life. In other words, they rejected God's will for their life. You see, verse 51 tells us some very important things. I want us to look at verse 51. It came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face towards Jerusalem. This passage of Scripture tells us one thing. Jesus Christ had a mission in life. Jesus Christ had a mission in life. The Bible says here, he was focused like a runner on one thing in his life. When a runner runs, they tell him, especially in the 100-yard dash or whatever they may run. I don't even know what to run nowadays. But the 100-yard dash, I like to watch the Olympics. Those runners, when they're down in their starting position, they have their eyes focused on one thing. That's the end line. And they run with all they can to that end line. If they're going to win, they can't look back at the person next to them. It never fails. You watch them in the Olympics. Those guys that usually win are running all out for that mark, that end of the 100-yard dash. Every once in a while, you'll see one peek around to look, and inevitably, somebody will pass him on the other side. You see, once you take your eyes off your mission, once you take your eyes off the goal, then you're not focused anymore, are you? Well, Jesus Christ had a mission, and his mission was he had set his face towards Jerusalem. When the time was come, time for what? The time for him to accomplish what he came here for. Years ago, I loved the old show, Mission Impossible. I like that show, Mission Impossible. It always come down, some of the young people don't even know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen the movie what's that guy's on there? Huh? Tom Cruise. It's not like that, okay? It's a whole lot better than that. They had about five people on this team, or five people, and they were to accomplish the mission, and they were working together to accomplish that mission. And right at the last, when you think it wasn't going to come together, it all came together. They accomplished it, and they got out. Well, you know, Jesus Christ was sent on a mission by his Father to earth, and that mission was to save those which are lost. Now, that is impossible for you and I to do. We cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus Christ could do that. Only Jesus Christ could come, could live a sinless life, could go to the cross and die. He was the perfect sacrifice sent by his Son, that lamb without spot or blemish. You know, and you and I have sin in our life, don't we? We're spotted. We're wrinkled. We have that blemish in our life. We could never go and pay the price for a lost mankind. Only Jesus Christ could accomplish that mission. And he was so focused on that mission that he didn't let anything stop him from that. Luke 9:51 says, when the time was come, he steadfastly, with all his focus, set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now today, all we want to accomplish our goals, but we have different directions in our life, don't we? If you ask the average American today, what are you here for? Some are trying to acquire the world's treasure. They're laying everything on the line that they might acquire wealth, that they might gain all they can, and not thinking about tomorrow. They're not worrying about what happens after death, what will happen to all this treasure. Well, I want to tell you something. I preached a lot of funerals. I've never seen anybody taking any of it with them. You just don't do that. But some are not trying only world's treasures. Some are trying to gain the world's pleasure in life. They've got their goal on, man, if I can have all the fun and all the pleasure I want that this world offers, I'll surely be happy. And some are focused on that. Some have their face set towards that. And then others, well, they just want the world to accept them. And they're focused on, if I can get everyone to accept me. But you see, Jesus Christ was not trying to acquire any of the world's treasure or pleasure or acceptance. He was only here, the Bible says, to do my Father's will. John 4:34, he summed it up like this. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish that work. In other words, Jesus says, this is what I'm here for. I'm to accomplish the perfect will of my Father. That's all I want to do, is to accomplish the will of my Father and to finish the work that he's got me to do. Now, in our text, Jesus Christ had gone quite some time without food. The Bible tells us, and the other passage of Scripture, that the disciples were concerned that he had not eat. And they said, Master, do you have anything to eat? And they kept bothering him with these questions. To almost they were obnoxious. to him in his life. And it's as almost the Lord says, you know, the reason that all of y'all are living for, are you following me around, is that you might have some meat to eat. And that's not my purpose. You see, he said, is this food all that you care about in life? At one point he said that, you know, the little birds, I take care of them and they're not worried about their next meal. Surely I'll take care of you. He said, my purpose here is to go to Jerusalem and finish the work. He said, I've been sent to do a special work, and that is to save the lost, to save, to die for the sinner. And I have a craving. I have a meat that you don't even know anything about, and that is to finish the work that my Father has sent me to do. And it's obvious from his life that he lived and the things that he said, he was going to accomplish just one thing. That was his mission, the mission impossible that he wanted to do. That was what Jesus Christ came for, to die, that you and I might have life. And you know, if you have not received that eternal life, I pray that you're here tonight, and I pray that every one of you have. But in a crowd like this, more likely there's some of you that never have received Jesus Christ. And the longer I work with so-called Christian people, I realize that a lot of them are not Christian at all. You see, we have a goodness about us sometimes, but we don't know Jesus Christ deep down in our heart. And Jesus says, you know, my mission is to do the will of the Father, and that was to die for you and I, that we might have everlasting life, that we might come to know him in his fullness and enjoy what he says is the Christian life, to enjoy real living. You see, if we're excited about Jesus and we have Jesus in our life, you know what? We come here to worship God on Sunday and to get our buckets full, that we might literally go out into the world, in the highway, in the hedges, and compel others to come in. But you know, we don't live like that, do we? Be honest with ourselves, we don't live like that. We come in and we have our, you know, our goal is, a lot of our goals is, man, if I can just make it through this hour, I can go home. And we come to church as a form of duty, not a form of worship. Well, Jesus says, you know, my goal is to come. And he set his face, the Bible says, to go to Jerusalem. Also, I see something very important here. For him to be received up, that's talking about what? That's talking about his ascension. He's going to be, not only is he going to die for the sinners, the Bible says for him to be received up, he had to be taken up. It refers to his death, burial, and his resurrection. You see, only Christ can die for our sins. And he was going to do something else. He was going to live again. You see, he wasn't going to just stop short in the salvation. He wanted to finish the plan. And part of the plan was, you must die and rise again. So his ascension meant that he finished the job on that resurrection day. Man, we fix to celebrate Easter. On Easter morning, when the ladies run to the tomb, and that tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. His work was completed then. He made a way that we might have everlasting life, and his death meant that he died, and his resurrection meant that he lives again. And because he lives, the Bible says, we also have eternal life. Death's not the end to us. Every one of us is going to die, amen or oh me. We're going to die, folks. If we live long enough, we're going to die. That's just part of life. Somebody said one out of one dies. Well, that's the mission. Jesus Christ made a way that we can have eternal life. And death for the Christian, Jesus says, is like a sleep. Simply falling to sleep and going to be with Christ. Well, there's a misunderstanding in the Bible. These people misunderstand it. Look at verse 52 through 54. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of Samaritans to prepare for him. Jesus had a custom. His custom was, kind of like a lot of our people today, evangelists, as they come to evangelize in our church, you know, his custom was sending his disciples ahead to tell that he's coming to town. Jesus Christ is coming to town. The Savior is coming to town. This is the kind of way we, when evangelists come, they'll send things ahead, or we get letters ahead so they can put it in the paper to let everybody know that this week is having revival in our church. This week we're going to have an evangelist in town, and we want everybody to clear their schedules or adjust their schedule so that they'll be ready when he comes. Well, when the Samaritans heard that Jesus Christ had set his face, his focus was going to Jerusalem, guess what? Samaritans didn't like the Jews. So they didn't want him. That was kind of childish, wasn't it? They disliked the Jews enough. They hated them enough to say, we don't want any part of this man Jesus. If he's going to Jerusalem, that's childish attitudes. Now let me tell you something, folks. We have those childish attitudes. If you're going to fellowship with me, then you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to get along with me. And if you don't get along with me, then we won't have any fellowship. It's kind of like one kid telling another, this is my toy, and I'm going to take my ball and go home if you don't do what I want you to do in the game. We set our rules and stuff. Well, they were just as childish. They said, you know, we don't want to have any fellowship with him because he's having fellowship with the Jews. We don't like them, so we're not going to have anything. And they literally said, we don't want him in our town. Now, these Samaritans would have gladly received him if he hadn't had his face set towards Jerusalem. Now, folks, they allowed hate for no one, for some unknown reason. They allowed hate to miss the blessings of Jesus Christ. Don't allow the devil to get so involved in your life that you miss the blessings of Jesus on Sunday when you come to church. You come with the attitude, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to let anybody bother me. You see? Bill's not going to bother me next Sunday. I don't care what he does to me next week. He's not going to bother me because I'm coming to worship God. Same way, he shouldn't let something bother him from coming. I'm just picking on him tonight. He's down here on the front row. But the disciples, when they heard this, now, these guys are the ones that follow Jesus around. You would think they were a little bit more scriptural or a little bit more spiritual, I should say, than these Samaritans. But you know what they said? Lord, why don't you just let us burn them up? Man, we'll call down fire from heaven and we'll get these people burnt, slap dab up. That was their recommendation. If they don't like you, they don't want you to come into town, we don't like them either. Now, these were men that Jesus had called out to do what? Be his disciples. These were men that Jesus was going to lead the gospel with, to spread all over the world. Now, you can tell they had the wrong idea, can't you? These were men that Jesus was going to put his faith in, to reach the world. But Jesus rebuked them and said, listen, guys, you don't understand what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to reach the lost. You don't understand my mission. My mission is to bring life and freely give life to a lost mankind. I don't care who he is or what he's done to me. I'm still going to love him. I don't love their sin, but I love them. And folks, we need to be the same way about everybody in the world. You see, their concept of the Messiah would be one that would just come in and man use force and set up his kingdom on earth and zap everybody that didn't follow him. Well, Rome did the same thing. Jesus says, no, my mission is not to judge mankind. My mission is to come to redeem mankind. And that ought to be our mission. Our mission is not to judge people. Our mission is to love them and tell them what the Bible says and tell them about the gospel. Yes, we don't like the sin of the world, but we love the sinner, just like God said he loved the sinner. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. When Jesus comes back, next time, it'll be his judge. And he will judge them. You and I don't have any right to judge people. You see, for we're just sinners saved by grace, aren't we? James and John displayed the same hate and the same anger as the Samaritan did because of one simple reason. They were ignorant of the mission of Jesus Christ. Well, today we don't have to be ignorant of the mission of Jesus Christ. His message is found clear in 55. He turned and rebuked him and said, listen, guys, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. Your spirit is that of the devil. You don't hate people. You love them. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy these men's lives. He came to save the Samaritans as well as the Jews, all men. John went on to be known as one of the greatest apostles because of that rebuke. He went on to be one of the greatest apostles because God changed his heart. And he now had a tender heart. Well, his love and kindness and gentleness, you know, this could only be known by his, only be done by his finding out the mission of Jesus Christ and getting in tune with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you men, what you're asking me to do is call down fire and destroy these precious souls. The very precious souls that I came to die for. And he said, I don't want to do that. He said, you men are being controlled by the devil. Now let me tell you something. If these men can be controlled by the devil, I find the devil's active in our churches today. He's very well and active in our churches today. All right? I think if Jesus stood and preached in our pulpits today, he would literally blister us for the way we have church. That's sad, isn't it? For some people in our churches today don't have a clue what Jesus Christ is trying to do. They don't have a clue what God wants to do. Some church services aren't any more than just a ritual that people go through in life. They just come and go. They come and hear a preacher preach. They come and hear a teacher teach. And then they go home just as empty as when they came in. You see, when you come to church, the Holy Spirit, if it's in you, ought to be filled with the joy or the Word of God and the songs of God, that when you go home, you're full of the glory of God. And so many don't do that. In some churches that I've been to and some that I know, and I pray this one never do that, they're no more than social clubs where people come and just get together and walk in and they hug one another. You see? You got to be careful that we don't do that. We need to accept people for who they are and love those people. If a stranger walks in and sits by you, it's not the stranger's duty to ask you your name. It's your duty to welcome him. You see, welcome him into the family. The world is full of people with one heart away from, one heartbeat away from dying and going to devil's hell. And, you know, we make little or no effort, very little or no effort, to reach out to them. We ought to do that. Look at his rejection, verse 56, and I'll close. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now, this is a sad ending here. They will never know until Judgment Day what they missed or what they could have had in Christ Jesus. The Lord sent his disciples ahead to tell them that he was coming, and it should have brought joy to the church. It should have brought joy to the people's hearts. Instead, they said, we don't want him here because he's going to Jerusalem. And this is what you need to understand. If you reject Jesus Christ, if you reject his message, if you reject his mission, if you reject his calling, he's not going to force you to love him. He will just simply go somewhere else. When the Holy Spirit comes and touches a lost person's heart, and that lost person is sitting there, and they hear the message that they're lost, and they realize the Holy Spirit convicts their heart that they're lost, and they sit there through the service, and they say, no, 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 I'm not going down. I'm not going to receive that call today. It could be that they never get that calling again. Could be that they're lost for all eternity. Because the Holy Spirit may not pass their way again. He may go to another village. Because God does not force himself on anyone. If they did not want his blessings, God says, if you don't want the blessings that I want to pour out on you, I'll give them to somebody else that really wants them. And folks, I believe that's true about a church. God wants to bless our church. God wants to bless our people in our church. God wants to come into their life and wants them to allow him to come in and fill their life. But if you don't want to, he's not going to force you, and you're going to miss out on the blessings that God wants you to have in this church. If you reject him, he will leave. Now, if you're here tonight and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this ought to be something that makes you perk up and listen. If you are sitting there and you know in your heart that you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know if you die, you're going to heaven. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, he's right. The Holy Spirit's convicting me. I need to do something about it. If you sit there and you say no, and you do not come to the front to ask Christ into your heart, if you do not stand where you are to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, if you do not let anybody know that Jesus Christ, you're asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you're ashamed of him, then he says, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. And if you let that opportunity pass by, there's nothing in the Bible that says that God has to do that anymore in your life. There is a line, I do not know. But I know one thing, when you deny the Holy Spirit and you say no to the Holy Spirit, and God says, okay, you don't want me, I'll go somewhere else. I'll give salvation to some other person. It's a gift of God. He may never come your way again. I was reading about in our book, the last chapter of the book of Acts. Paul told Festus, and they said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me, but not right now. As far as we know, in history states they never came to know Jesus Christ. Folks, it's a bad choice to reject Jesus Christ. It's a bad choice to say I'm a Christian and not live for Jesus Christ. To miss out on the blessings that God has for you in His Word. If you don't know Him tonight, would you come? I don't know who's here. I don't know, as Christians, I don't know, as members, if you're really saved or not. But if you don't know, I don't know about you, but I know something. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Not anything I've done, except by faith, I'm trusting Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I know that. And you ought to have that same assurance in your life. And if you don't know that, you can't say, well, I'll stand with you, preacher, I'm going to heaven. I know that. Nothing can change my mind about that. Nothing that happens to me is going to ever change that fact. I'm a child of God. And if you don't know that, then you need to come make sure of that. You really do. I don't care if you've been in church all your life. Church does not save you. Now, if you're made that decision and you know that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then live for Him. You come here on Sunday morning to worship Him and nothing else. And I'll guarantee you, your life will change. Your attitude will change. The ministry will change in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for these that are here. Lord, I just pray for Your that Your Word will just go forth, Lord, and touch our hearts, stir our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know for sure that they're saved, Lord, may they get that right before they leave here. And Lord, if we are saved and we know we're saved, Lord, let us start claiming the promises and enjoying the blessing by living in a right atmosphere for You. And we'll give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.